Peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
First of all, I want to thank Luke for assigning me a text that I don't think I had ever read before. So, that being the case, we're going to go over it again, just quickly, all right? Just to capture this Old Testament piece of history and a piece of real crisis for Israelites. The word came to Jeremiah from Yahweh after King Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people in Jerusalem to issue a proclamation freeing their slaves. Each man was to free his Hebrew slaves, men and women. No one was any longer to keep a brother Judean in slavery. So I suppose if you weren't a Judean or come from the Hebrews, it was okay to keep those slaves. You just had to let go the guys and gals that were Hebrews. So they had agreed to do that. Then they changed their minds. They recovered their slaves, men and women, whom they had set free, and reduced them to slavery again. The word of Yahweh came then to Jeremiah as follows. Yahweh, God of Israel, says this, I cut a covenant with your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I said, at the end of 7 years, each one of you is to liberate his brother Hebrew who has sold himself to you. He may be your slave for 6 years, but then you've got to send him away free. But your ancestors didn't listen to me and wouldn't pay attention. Now, today, you repented, that is, changed your mind, and did what pleases me by proclaiming freedom for your neighbor. You cut a covenant before me in the temple that bears my name. And then you repented again. You changed your minds and forced all of your slaves to become your slaves again. The men and women whom you had sent away free to live their own lives. So Yahweh says this, you've disobeyed me. You failed to grant freedom to brother and neighbor. Very well then, in my turn, Yahweh declares, I shall set free and liberate sword, famine, and plague, now free to deal with you, and I'll make you an object of horror to all the kingdoms of the earth. As for the people who have broken my covenant, who have now observed the terms of the covenant which they made before me, which they cut, excuse me, that's the word, cut. They cut a deal with God. We still use that same phrase today, and that's the proper word there. You cut in two pieces of animals and walked between them. And so now that you have broken that covenant, I'm going to make you cut in two just like those animals. So there, take that. I once heard a rabbi say, it's real difficult to be in dialogue, Christian and Jew, because we start at different points. The people of God before Mount Sinai, when they were there and about to receive the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, they opening phrase is, I am the Lord your God. That's how God introduces himself. I brought you out of slavery. So the rabbi said, the first commandment for a Jew is not about God, it's about freedom. It is God's command to be free. And so God's bottom line is liberation. Freedom. means to be free. To be a follower of Jesus Christ means to be free. There's a famous monograph that sits in my book pile called Jesus Means Freedom. We've been set free from the law of sin and death. There is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. It always comes back to freedom. But of course, what does that freedom look like? How do we live it out? What's it all about? That's also the devil in the detail. I can be free like an idiot, or I can be free like a guy who lives wisely, prudently. And finally, when we come to the bottom line, we're going to find out that in order to know how to handle this freedom, we need to have as the standard the cross and suffering of Jesus, because that's the bottom line, too. That's the only standard, the lift high the cross standard, that will help us sort our way through the great liberation that we have been granted. Liberation from sin, death, and hell. Every other kind of sorting method will lead us astray and cause us to commit great self-destruction on one another. Paul, in his relationship with the church in Corinth, terribly conflicted. He says lots of nasty things, then no doubt they said lots of nasty things to him, too. We just don't happen to have the pleasure of that written down on paper for us. All we've got is Paul's responses to that. But one famous line that sticks in my mind always when I get in a spot where I'm trying to figure out what to do is when Paul says, when I came to you, I was determined to know nothing except Christ and Him crucified. That's always where Paul goes to sort things out. When I was a vacancy pastor at St. Paul years and years ago, I remember when I would go up to meetings there. And they had a grade school. And those of you with memories long enough will know that grade schools and churches paired together, that's an uneasy combination. It's always, I haven't met anybody who has pastored those kinds of churches who hasn't just struggled with it mightily on both sides of that issue. It's always about turf and who's paying the remotes and all that stuff. It gets very complicated and fractious. And so I would go to those meetings and I'd, all the way from here to Leavenworth, I'd be saying, and we determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. If I could keep that in my head, then the other stuff could be worked out. Now, God's not just intent that we should be liberated. He is bound and determined that we should also be liberators. No slaves. We're not to be slaves. We're not to be beholden to anybody. And we are not to be holding anybody under our heel, under our thumb, under obligation. Because those people are free too. Not free because it is an inalienable human right, as our Declaration of Independence says, but because God has declared it. It's the way creation was made, and it's the covenant that God cut with us. By the way, that's where the cutting a covenant comes, and we still use the phrase, don't we, to go cut a deal with somebody. It happened with Abraham. When God cut his deal with Abraham, He had Abraham cut three sacrificial animals in half. Yes, that's right, in half. And then set them apart, and a flaming torch, a flaming pot, went back and forth between them, representing God, and then Abraham passed between them. The significance of that was, if either one of us goes back on this deal, may we be as these animals are. Totally severed in two. Pretty graphic stuff. And that phrase appears over and over again in our Old Testament reading today. I cut a deal with you, and you to the terms of the covenant I made with you. And then he took it all back. We're kind of like that. We like deals that we think work for us. But then we think again, and we wonder, well, maybe it's better the way it was before. And then we go back like a dog to its own vomit and start doing what we used to do. And then we go back the other way. It is the way it is. Why did they set those free slaves free? Well, Jerusalem was under siege, and a couple of other cities around them. The Babylonians, or Chaldeans as they're called in Jeremiah, were on the ascendancy. And Jeremiah, one of the saddest and most tragic individuals in the Old Testament, was prophesying all through this time of Israel's decline on the world stage. Israel didn't like being in decline. They still held high in their minds their Davidic ancestry, when they were the biggest guys on the block and they ruled the roost. And they didn't like anybody else coming in and telling them what to do. So they, even though Jeremiah told them, look, just let the Babylonians come in and conquer you. You'll be fine. But you better not resist and go trying to cut your own deals. Try to find your own path to security. But they couldn't stand that. They couldn't stand it, so they ran off down to Egypt, which was the power to the south, and cut a deal with Egypt, one of these mutual defense pacts, if you will. So they were under siege. The siege ramps were at the walls of Jerusalem, and so they sent out an appeal to the Pharaoh. Okay, they're coming to get us. It's time to invoke the terms of our treaty with you to come rescue us from these cursed Babylonians. So Pharaoh mounted his armies and he starts into Palestine. So the Babylonian emperor realizes this threat. I don't know if he had spy drones flying, but he figured out how to find out that that Egypt and its armies were on the march. And so he says, okay, we've got to break off here, and we have to go down to confront this threat of Pharaoh and his armies. While the Jerusalemites were under siege and under pressure from the Babylonian army, that was when they repented and set the slaves free. Why is that? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One is, maybe the slave masters under siege in a city that was besieged where food and water was short were not able to feed their slaves. They couldn't take care of their whole household. Or the explanation that I kind of go for is they needed designed creation in such a way that I can't be free, we can't be free, unless everybody is free. It doesn't work for me to say, I'm free, you're not. The United States has become the biggest jailer in the world per capita. We've got more people in the slammer than you can shake a stick at. And it's shameful. Do some of those people need to be there? Yeah. There are some bad people out there. But the number of enslaving forces that are at work in our society is shameful. And we need to repent of that. Can't be free as a church either if we are enslaved to systems of doctrine that are sinfully enforced. Because they are blind guides, those doctrines, and will not set us free. I cannot be free as an individual if I am enslaved by a set of rules that hammer away in the back of my head and say, you gotta do this and you gotta do that. Who knows where those rules come from? Mom and dad, teachers, other values and legal barkers and markers that get stuck in our head. Can't be free if I'm a slave to those. There's only one thing that sets me free. That's the cross of Jesus Christ. When I see Jesus and follow Jesus, when I get behind him instead of trying to lead him by first of all deciding what I'm going to do with my day and then saying, please follow me through this, will you, Lord, and make it all work out, okay? But when I'm behind him, then I see clearly where things are going. Jesus was unencumbered by concerns for his own safety. He knew one thing, that God was his loving Father, and that God was pleased with him and would lead him where he needed to go. And he went all the way to the cross. You and I are called to be that kind of presence in the world today. People who are so radically free that we don't care if everybody else is free too. And on top of that, we are a community, not just a bunch of lone rangers, but a community that actively works to put that liberation to work. First of all, right here. And then in the community around us, so that others may be free of fear, may be free of the pointing finger, you're not good enough, you don't have enough money, you don't have the right papers on you, you don't have the right health insurance. That we are actively pursuing a reality that lets others be free of those crushing fears. That's going to put us at cross purposes with some folks, occasionally, perhaps the majority of the time. And it is counterintuitive, but it is true. We have been set free